kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Now frequently we will claim the last line there, ye have not because ye ask not, and we'll make a general application of that to prayer. But in dealing with this whole passage where it says, have not ye kill and desire to have. And I said something to the effect, well, you know, that's probably not kill like murder. That's probably being used indicative of a very vengeful, harmful feeling. And that set Pastor to thinking. That's a good thing, okay? It set him to thinking. And he called attention to chapter 5 and verse 6, where it says, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. And so there, in its context in chapter 5, the kill is very readily seen as murderous type of killing. And so he sent me a text to that effect, but more in addition to the text he sent, one of the things that he described was the historic aspect of Jews back then. Pastor, you remember what it was you said to me? Would you please stand up and let the folks know what it was you said? Because this puts some historic context to the word kill in chapter 4 and chapter 5.
Real briefly, when Alexander the Great conquered all through the Middle East, when he got to Jerusalem, the elders of Jerusalem went out to him, according to Josephus, the historian, Jewish historian, went out to him and showed him from the book of Daniel where he was prophesied to come. Alexander then, we do know historically that Alexander then took Jews and put them all over the cities of Europe and Asia and made them administrators, bankers, lawyers, still that today. But he made them all that. So that's why when you go into the book of Acts, you see these powerful positions Jews have in each of these cities they go into. So for them, they were used to being the rich making these decisions, judging. The Romans didn't take that away because the Romans never changed a local government that worked, as long as that local government would be loyal to them. So then it comes down to a matter, keep in mind, in those days, a petty crime could get you killed. They didn't put people in prison for shoplifting. They just hung them or executed them. It was just over. It was done. Okay? They did that until the 1740s, even later in that 1800 in some places. So if you were one of those people, one of those Jews, it was common. You might condemn 4 or 5 people in a week to death. But think nothing of it. Just the way people lived in those days. And during that period of time, you think people made mistakes? You better believe they did. Recently in the blog, I used the example of Telford Taylor, who was the general in charge of the Nuremberg trials. And when the trials first started out, he had so much revenge against the Germans, he hung a general that later he realized that was a mistake. That man should not have been hung. And he wrote a letter to his wife apologizing to her that, you know, that we did that. So James is writing to people who probably lightly have killed people, some even just people, all right? That's kind of what he's writing to historically.
Okay, that's significant. One of the things that I was reminded of, I knew about it, but I didn't apply it. And that is the importance of reading in and not trying to project today onto the scriptures. But yes, right. And that's why I said I don't think kill means murderous. Okay? Because that just wouldn't fit the way we think and do things today regarding the matter of prayer and the rest of what he is saying. But we must read it in context, which not only means surrounding verses, but the context of the conditions and society in which it was written. Now, you say, well, how in the world are we going to know that? We don't have the insights like Pastor has. No, but we have resources. Okay? And what we need to do when we're trying to do a study is tap into those resources regarding the history. Now, back when I was pastoring, before the day in which we lived, that meant a trip to the Olean Library, and I had to get a variety of books. And I remember being down there with four or five books set on a table looking up the subject. And that's what you had to do. Now, there's other passages wherein you don't need to go to that extent. We need to be conscious always of what did this mean in the day it was written. And then from that is what we take and apply to our day now. I wanted to set that right and use it really as a teaching opportunity about the matter of studying the Bible. So when you come to something like the word kill that just doesn't seem to fit with the rest of it, don't do what I did, okay? Which was to try and make it fit into what I understood. We're supposed to fit into what it gives us to understand. Amen? Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, I have been talking about... Oh, I'm looking at the clock. There it is, over there. About prayer. I've been talking about prayer. I don't know. This is page 15. So we must have... I'm going to think at least 10 different aspects and subjects on the matter of prayer that we've been looking at. And it's all been under the heading of why pray. Turn to Revelation, if you will. The book of Revelation. How many Revelation are there?
One.
That's why we say Revelation, not Revelations. Just a little extra there along the way. Oh, my goodness. We're going to jump to verse 8. Oh, every chapter. No, chapter chapter 5. Chapter 5. Told you, had a sunshine day. Revelation 5, 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. Here's the words, which are the prayer of saints. Why pray? Because someday those prayers are going to be taken and they're going to be contained in these vials. Now, what are the vials? Some said it's little bottles like this. Others said it's round and then a stem and then others said it's a basin. What it actually is only matters to people with weird minds.
I agree.
That's not fair. Really, it's not. People with those kind of minds can find some fascinating things. Nevertheless, these are the prayers of the saints. And the golden vials are full of odors. Now, one fellow said, well, that should say incense. No, it should say odors.
Right.
Okay. Now, it might be incense that gives the odor. Okay. And in the tabernacle and in the temple, incense and other fragrances were used as part of the worship act. Thank you. Oh, wow. Great. I even got some Ricola there. We're going to keep you around.
I agree.
You agree. I thought you would. And so the fact that it says there we're full of odors, our prayers are, and there's another place you'll find this, it just came to mind, so I don't have the reference. There's another place where it says are a sweet smelling savor.
That's good.
Okay? And as a result, we need to pray. You may feel, well, my stumbling prayers, how are they going to be taken? Let God worry about that. Ours is the fact that we ought to be praying so that there will be the prayers of the saints to be presented. And where are they presented? They're presented before the Lamb of God. They're presented before Jesus. Look, if you will, in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." Notice it's capitalized, Lamb. That's identifying Jesus Christ. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying." Isn't that something? Everything in the sea, everything in the heavens, it's all of God's creation is going to be saying blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Now, the 24 elders are somewhat easy to understand. The term elders applied to man. You look at the description of the 24 and it is of men. There seems to be somewhat of a consensus, which doesn't always make things right, but there seems to be a consensus that these 24 are representative of the church. And because we are told we would be ruling and reigning with Jesus. And at another chapter in Revelation, they are seated on thrones around or surrounding Jesus Christ on his throne. So that these are men, I have no difficulty seeing and understanding. Now, what about the four beasts? Okay. What are they? They apparently are angelic beings. Some have said cherubim. In other words, they are not, they are of a specific kind of angelic being. Yeah. That they have this honor of being the four. Now, you read, and you'll read different verses in different chapters that refer to these four beasts. And see, when we say beasts, what comes to mind? We think of something nefarious, okay? And you're scared about going out in the dark at night because of what might be there. And if you're not, well, I don't know what's wrong with you. You're brave. I am still, I mean, just like, good night. Sam and Charity, they walk home in the dark. Yeah. The other night when Sam took took Bethany home. And so Charity had just known, she said, "Well, I'm going to walk." And without a car seat, because I've offered her a ride already. And she said, "Well, not without a car seat." Now, I don't know how my kids made it without a car seat, okay? But anyway, but I respect that. And so I almost was going to text them and say, "Is she home?" Okay? But I didn't, because just what Sam is doing is what I knew the reaction would be, okay? Because this isn't even Olean, let alone a big city. But it's dark, and you never know what's in the dark. Man, I always carried a big flashlight, okay? Now, yeah, a flashlight, no, I mean a regular flashlight, so I can see if there's a... if there's a beast out there that's going to get me. I know you're sitting there thinking, what's with you? I have a 6-year-old child that acts like this. Yeah, and he's going to grow up to act like this. Anyway, Beasts. We usually apply the term beasts to something other than what I believe it's intended here, which would be of an angelic being. I believe the word beast is used because it communicates that it is not a man. It is something otherwise. Now, turn, if you will, please, to Revelation 8. Revelation 8. In Revelation 8, verse 1 to 3, "And when he had opened the seventh seal," now studying the seven seals is very interesting, even just reading them with, you know, just contemplating them as you read them can be very interesting. When I say study, I think of sitting at a table with a tablet and resource books and really delving into it, you know. But even if you were to just read each seal and then maybe read it a second time to get the gist of it. "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Now that would be interesting just to you know, study that out. Silence for a half an hour. Why? Okay? What was the purpose? And we may never know something of that sort. "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the," what's it say? "He should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar," which was before the throne. So there, our prayers are mingled with incense. There was a time, I contend to, I don't know what you want to call it, but there was a time when I was into incense, and I buy incense. There was the little cone-shaped ones were the ones mostly. Then I found some stick ones, and you had to have a particular kind of holder for the stick ones. Okay, and then I got a little brass thing to put the cone-shaped ones in. Boy, I was into the incense. Pat came in, she said, "Woo, it stinks in here." "No, it doesn't. It's incense. It smells good." But it didn't. It didn't smell good. She was right. It did stink. But I was into incense. So I'm burning incense. But here, our prayers are mingled with incense. There is something about the sweet-smelling savors to our God. And that's what was in Revelation 5:8. But I want you to go back to Revelation 5, and I want you to see verse, I want to read 8, and then I'm going to go into 9. "And golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God." Hey, that's you and me, our salvation. That's what he's talking about there. "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests." That's what Peter talks about, that we are kings and priests before God. And so this is marvelous about prayer. Tonight when I sit and have my nighttime prayers, this is going to come into picture, into my mind. Amen. Okay, these are not just prayers taking place in the living room of 211 North 19th Street. These are going to be put into a container and presented before the worthy Lamb at some point in the future when this all unfolds. That's what our prayers are going to be doing. You know, you say, well, how do you know that it's our prayers like them? It says, which are the prayers of saints. It doesn't say the prayers of saints from this generation. It doesn't say the prayers of saints from a particular setting and time frame. It just says the prayers of saints. And I'm a saint.
Amen.
And therefore, my prayers are going to be presented to God.
Yes.
And that, I'll tell you, is awesome. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the end of it, is a key classic. Pastor talks about transitions within the Bible and needing to be aware of them. And I think this is one of them where the end of chapter 4, verse 1, the end of verse 1, where he says, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." That's a point where John was on the earth seeing what was happening, and the Spirit said, "Come up hither, come up. I'm going to show you things to come." And what he was shown is what we read in the book of Revelation.
Good.
Okay, and so that part's wonderful. Verse 4, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Now there again, we know these 24 elders were men because they're clothed in white. Angels are never spoken of that way, and they had crowns on their head, and angels are never spoken of as having crowns. Okay, that's something reserved for men, and it's indicative of them representing the church. Now look at verse 8. "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him." Now that's how we know the beasts aren't people, because people don't have six wings. "And they were full of eyes within." Now, you know, you talk about, I understand beasts, you know, six wings, and they were full of eyes. Now, man, I'll tell you, if I'm outside at night and I see one of them dudes, forget it. The heart's going to stop. And it says, "They rest not day and night." And here's what the beasts cry: "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." That's what we read in Isaiah. Holy, holy, holy. And then he goes on and he says in verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things." And why were you created? Why do you exist?
Amen.
"For thy pleasure they are and were created."
Amen.
That's why you're created.
Amen.
If you go through a hard time and say, "Oh man, why in the world? Why was I born?" Right there. Mark it down. Revelation 4:11. You were born for his pleasure. You may not feel very pleasurable. You don't have to feel pleasurable, but you were created for his pleasure. And that's one of the reasons why I believe if you're sitting in a gospel preaching church, and that, by the way, we qualify as that, you're sitting in a gospel preaching church, you're hearing about Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, one of the reasons I believe you're going to be saved is because you were created for his pleasure.
Amen.
Now that can give hope to somebody.
Amen.
Okay? No matter how dark things look now, you were created for his pleasure. I think just one more verse. We covered that. That's why we pray. Because our prayers are going to be taken and presented as an honor to the Lord Jesus Christ when those golden vials are emptied before him. The prayers of the saints, the honor it's going to give to him is he will see how many. Can you imagine how many prayers would be in there? You know, "Oh, they can't be that big." How much room does it take for a prayer?
Huh?
What do you mean? There can't, you know, there's all of the prayers of all of the believers from all of the ages. I mean, there is no substance to them. And there again, let God worry about the details. You see, you build faith, which is trust, dependence on God. You build your faith, your dependence on God. When you see something like that and a thought comes to you, well, how in the world could those four hold all of the prayers? Don't worry about it. That isn't for you to deal with. God didn't put you in charge of stuffing all of the prayers into the vials. Okay? And just have faith. And that's how you'll grow. That's how you'll grow. And I don't know what else to say, you know, and you can grow. You know, I've heard people say already, well, I don't know, I can't understand this and I can't understand that. How in the world am I ever going to be a strong Christian? All you have to do is believe what you do know. God doesn't hold you accountable for things you don't know, but he does hold us accountable for things we do know and don't live. That's our problem. What we do know and don't live. So the next guy knows 10, 20, 30% more than you. You want that burden? Let that guy bear that. You see? All you're responsible for is whatever, however much. Okay? If all you have is 10% burden, okay, live that. And that's all God wants from you. He doesn't want what the other guy has. You say, well, what happens if I grow? So will your strength.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. And then you'll be like that other guy you look at and glad you don't have what he has. Okay. Because then you'll be there and you'll understand, hey, this isn't really all that bad. Oh my, Christian life is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, amen.
All right. By way of prayer request, let me share these, then we'll do our usual.